Shelby.
And we are the Outlook Podcast. We're here to talk about all things wilderness in hopes of inspiring others to get out there and enjoy everything nature has to offer. Camp Outlook is a Kingston-based nonprofit whose mission is to make the wilderness accessible to youth through canoe trips and other backcountry outings.
If spending the summer in a canoe in beautiful Algonquin Park sounds like something you'd enjoy, why not volunteer with Camp Outlook? For more info, go to www.campoutlook.ca.
Today we sat down with Steve Tripp, a fellow canoe tripping and outdoors enthusiast. Steve works with Camp Outlook each year as a wilderness first aid instructor, and he came into the studio to share his experiences and advice with us.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for joining us today. Anita and I are really excited to learn more about your experiences as a wilderness first aid instructor, and specifically your work with Camp Outlook. So to start off, could you first just introduce yourself and give us a brief overview of your background in wilderness first aid?
I'm Steve Tripp, and I've been teaching wilderness first aid getting on just about 20 years now. And I came to the whole thing kind of through the summer camp world.
Great. Okay.
So my first question for you is, could you share with us how you first became interested in the wilderness? Like, where did that all start for you?
As a child, kind of growing up, we did family camping and this, that, and the next. But my dad and I did a canoe trip when I was in probably grade 6, grade 7. And just a simple weekend trip to Algonquin Park. And it was tons of fun. And did that each May. And at the end of high school, before going off to university, I convinced a couple of my buddies to do a canoe trip, kind of doing the same thing that I did with my dad. And we had an old canvas tent. So the canvas, during the rainstorm, collected all the water, and the tarp held it all. And so our tent was a swimming pool, and we had suffered horribly, and it was a lot of fun. And I did my first solo canoe trip after first year of university. It was kind of up through the Ottawa Valley and did the Bontra River. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. So it was just kind of self-taught, trying to figure it out. And then when I got involved in the summer camp world through a leadership training program, that's really when things kind of started taking off. And so it was really economical to be traveling from Waterloo up to Algonquin Park or wherever. And a buddy and I would go up and we'd camp probably once a month, and we'd pretty much all year. And again, we suffered horribly, but we took notes. And every time that we went out camping, we suffered less. And then kind of more experience, and then getting involved in the summer camp world. There was kind of the summer camp people that you can't do camp forever. So they moved on, graduated, and did other things. And then the next generation of staff didn't have any training, didn't know what they were doing. And so I stepped up to the plate at that point in time and became an Orca canoe instructor. And when I was doing the canoe instructor program, the guy that was teaching it, there was a combo course. So it was canoe tripping, moving water, and there's also the wilderness first aid. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, wilderness first aid, that's kind of cool. Like I thought to teach wilderness first aid or first aid in general, you had to be a doctor or a nurse or something like that. And so when I came back to Kingston after that, I became a standard first aid instructor. And after that, I went out to the Maritimes to become a wilderness first aid instructor. So kind of that whole journey to get to where I am today.
So on to that, I just had a quick side question. Could you maybe explain to us a bit more what the Orca training is?
It was the Ontario Recreational Canoeing Association. So it's basically a recreational canoe association to train people. Just because we're Canadian doesn't mean we can canoe. So you need some training before you head out there.
So I guess I'm just curious about how you first learned about Camp Outlook and what your experience has been like working with the camp every summer.
Actually, a friend of mine was the director of Camp Outlook 100 years ago, and we're just kind of getting into the whole canoe thing, and he had taken a moving water course, and I'd taken a moving water course, and we're kind of learning together. And anyway, he was directing Camp Outlook, and so in the community newspaper at that point in time, the Kingston Community Foundation was, you know, asking for people to apply for grants. So I was talking with my friend. I said, hey, you know, this organization, they're looking for grants, you know, maybe they can give you some money. So he contacted them. And so at that point in time, they got the bus for her for Camp Outlook. So I think they're like five or six buses later after that. But so that's where I first heard about them. And I used to teach a canoe tripping course for Queen's Outdoor and Experiential Ed program, kind of at the end of their program. And one of the people that was on that was there dropping people off and just saw that I taught wilderness first aid. And I was like, oh, could you do something for Camp Outlook? And I said, sure. And so at that point in time, I started teaching the 20-hour program for Camp Outlook. And then that escalated a number of years later to the 40-hour program. So I've been, teaching with Camp Outlook for, I don't know, maybe 15 years.
Could you talk a bit about what it's like to work in a wilderness program where everyone's a volunteer and they're dealing with at-risk youth a lot of the time?
Well, one of the things when you're working with volunteers, you're working with people that want to be there. If you're kind of in a paid environment, you're dealing with people who are maybe don't necessarily want to be there. But when you're working with volunteers, those are people who, they care. And one of the things with Camp Outlook, you know, some of the kids had might be not the kind of the best life. And, you know, Camp Outlook is a safe place for them to have an experience. One time there was a roofer that was working on a project with one of our neighbors. He saw the canoes in the yard. And he kind of yelled out and was like, hey, are you at Camp Outlook? Oh, and then he started talking about the experience that he had as an adolescent with Camp Outlook. And, you know, it was great. For him, the sight of a canoe brought back positive memories for him. Like he remembered that time when he was on an adventure with Camp Outlook, and it was a highlight of his life. So that's one of the things I try to remind, just kind of as a sidebar, when I'm teaching with Outlook, is you might be on a canoe trip and, you know, the campers are complaining, you know, they hate themselves, they hate their life, they hate the food, they hate the tent, they hate the canoe, they hate everything. And you're just at wit's end. But, you know, that could be a highlight for that kid. And then on the bus, when you're going back to town, you know, they'll be kibitzing with all the other kids in the, and it's like, they'll be talking about the sunsets and the swimming and it was awesome. And you'll be asking yourself, were we on the same trip? But that's just one of the things where when they're in that environment with people that care, that is all the difference in the world. And that's one of the big things that a lot of the volunteers with Camp Outlook over the years, it's a special group of people that are working together, and it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, for sure. I guess it's always the good things that you remember afterwards, not so much those rainy, wet nights and things like that. That's really cool to hear. And this may seem like an obvious question, kind of switching gears here, but could you talk a bit about why people really need first aid skills in the wilderness in the first place? And can you give examples of some of the main first aid skills you teach?
The big thing that I probably teach is I emphasize more on prevention. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things I emphasize as well is patient-centered care. But on the prevention, that's kind of one of my jokes with wilderness first aid. I'm a bit of a poser because I haven't done a lot of first aid myself, but big on prevention. Like, I've got like over 750 nights out of canoe camping and I think around 9,000 kilometers. And I'm a whitewater paddler. Like I do lots of crazy stuff. Like I've had to deal more with river rescues mm-hmm. in the moving water setting as opposed to the first aid. Just really big on prevention. Because if you're 2 days or 3 days or more from help and something goes wrong, it's not a good place to be. And so there's kind of a big emphasis on the prevention side of things, but with the course, kind of coming up with realistic scenarios that people might be involved in. You know, it's kind of your classic broken legs, broken arms, bleeds, unconscious, CPR, all that kind of stuff. So when I'm packing up for the courses, it's kind of my joke. I'm packing up for an outdoor ed course, high school theater production, and first aid. So it's kind of all those things combined together in one course.
Could you maybe tell us a bit more about the essential skills for being in the backcountry, aside from knowing first aid and all that? What are some tips and tricks that you have for people that go into the backcountry?
A big thing is know your sport and do your research. It's one of those things, to recognize and know what your dangers or hazards are helps you avoid them, and you avoid the first aid situation in the first place. If somebody's going on a big long hike and they don't do all the training beforehand and get themselves in shape, you know, they're going to have blisters, they're going to have torn body parts. And so just whatever sport that people are going to be doing or adventure in the wilderness, getting the proper training before you go out there, and then you avoid first aid in the first place.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not selling the course, am I?
No. No, that is good advice.
Well, the big thing is remaining calm and not getting flustered, because as soon as one gets flustered, yeah, you kind of lose your edge. So it's kind of knowing I've been here before, but also just like that's like the acronym STOP, stop, think, observe, plan. And just by slowing down and gathering your wits about yourself, then you're able to re-enter the situation under control. But as soon as we start running and we're not under control, that's usually when we as rescuers get hurt or other people get hurt.
Yeah, I think that's some really great advice. And especially, it's hard to think about how you may act in those situations, but I think that being able to kind of take that step back is really important.
Yep, refocus.
And so as you know, at Camp Outlook, a lot of our volunteers may not have previous experiences outdoors. So how do you approach teaching them the skills when they may not have any experience at all?
When I did my first river rescue course, there is some other people who had didn't know anything about moving water, but they wanted to get involved. And the instructor on the course says, great, you don't have any bad habits. So one of the things with volunteers that come into Camp Outlook, their heart is in the right place. And again, you can give people the skills. And if somebody's coming into to Outlook and they don't have any skills, they also don't have any bad habits. And one of the things that Outlook, being around for so long, they've got a pretty well-oiled system of the training that people need. And one of the things myself as a trainer on any of my courses, I don't assume that people know. And my big thing is everybody's welcome. So it's like, what do I need to do to back up the bus so everybody can get on board? And that's kind of my big thing with, especially with the Outlook courses, knowing that people don't necessarily have a lot of wilderness experience. Some do. Some come to Camp Outlook and they've done piles of other adventures, and this is just another cool opportunity. But for some who haven't had any experience in the past, yeah, just backing up the bus and allowing them to get on board.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that way of looking at it. Some of the previous canoe trip leaders have actually talked to us about your very realistic emergency simulations that you use in training sessions.
Yes.
So in what ways do you incorporate these hands-on practical exercises into your training sessions?
Well, I think with any of the scenarios that I'm setting up, they have to be believable. Mm-hmm. And so with the storyline that, or the storylines that I come up with, people can actually see themselves in that situation. So if it's some people that were getting into rock climbing and they were just practicing and somebody falls and they've got a spinal, and so the situation is set up that, you know, there's a cliff face. You know, so the person with the spinal is at the bottom of the cliff face, and, you know, somebody that was running and has a broken leg, there's a tree by where they tripped and fell. And as I said, you know, practicing for a school play, well, the people that are hurt, they all have a storyline and they all have roles to play in the skit or the situation. And then the rescuers coming in, they also have a storyline as well. So you're part of a trail association, you're doing some trail maintenance, or you're with a summer camp and this is kind of what you're doing, and then you hear something. So they have their first aid kit and all that kind of stuff that they need for whatever they might be walking into, but they have a storyline of what they're doing, and then the people who are needing help also have a storyline. So it's kind of bringing those two stories together. So it's stuff that I think that's believable that they would see, and also trying to get people to remain in character. And then by being in character, then that's the learning just kind of goes to another level.
Yeah, and I think that doing those kind of simulations as well helps them mentally prepare.
Oh, absolutely.
For whatever they might see. Maybe they have a better mindset going into it because they feel more prepared. How do you think that these simulations can help improve their confidence in their skills?
It's one of those things when people first start, because with Outlook, we do 4, possibly even 5 big scenarios over the course of 4 days. So starting off gradually, so kind of taxiing down the runway before we take off. Generally speaking, when I do kind of the round table at the beginning of the course, you know, what do you want to get out of the course? Confidence. Most people, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the confidence. And with my teaching style, I think confidence is built through encouragement and setting people up for success. So with the believable storylines that are in the scenarios, having the mock first aid kits that they begin using and the debrief afterwards, all those components build confidence in the people that are participating in the course. And at the end, most people are gained that confidence that they were looking for. And one of the other comments that people make as well is the importance of prevention. And so then you don't have a first aid situation in the first place.
Just curious, have you ever had to fail anyone in your courses? And what was the reason?
Again, I try to back the bus up so everybody can get on board. Because one of the things with wilderness first aid, it's not about doing, it's about being. And if it's all about doing, like some people can be very book smart, but you don't want them in the bush trying to bail you out. Mm-hmm. So like with anybody on a course, if somebody is not doing so well, I'm usually having that conversation with the Outlook course being over 4 days. Like after a day or two, we kind of have an idea of who's struggling. And then so it's kind of giving them a bit more time and just kind of letting them know. Generally speaking, they're also self-selecting and they realize that, oh, I'm out of my league and this isn't for me. But otherwise, like if somebody needs more time, with the courses, we're living together. And so I've got lots of time. So bringing them up to speed.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's great to hear that you're looking out to see who needs that bit of extra help. Yeah. Or who might be out of their comfort zone, because it is.
Oh, there's lots of people that are the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it's also to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. So if somebody is on a situation or whatever, and they're starting to go silent, it's like, okay, I might just kind of go, like, are you okay? Mm-hmm. And checking in with people. And sometimes, again, people self-select. There is one participant in a course, and the scenario was a bit too close to home. They just talked to me and said, you know, this is a bit too close to home, and I've like had an experience like this before, and I need to sit this out. I said, good, you need to take care of yourself. Because one of the big things, like part of the training, is you need to be taking care of yourself, the people who are okay, and then unfortunately the casualty is number three, and then your gear is number four. But the number one priority is taking care of oneself. And so, yeah, sometimes it just gets a bit close for people.
Yeah, and that makes sense. But obviously we can imagine that real life emergencies or injuries when you're out in the wilderness, like you said, like 2, 3, 4 days away from anyone else, that can be a really stressful experience. Do you yourself have any coping strategies that you'd be able to share with us that you teach others to use during those high stress situations to really calm and refocus their attention?
Well, I think one of the things with like a situation or a scenario, once it's stabilized, then it's just a maintenance program after that. So in town, you know, if there's a car accident or something like that, you've got your initial chaos at the beginning. And then with the paramedics and police, fire, ambulance are showing up, stuff is stabilized. And then once it's stabilized, then it's not routine business after that. But the chaos is at the beginning when people are trying to figure out what's going on. Stuff's gone sideways. Where are we going from here? But once stuff is stabilized, then, yeah, you're not in crisis mode anymore. So, and then so you go from being somebody's first aider to their PSW.
I guess just to wrap up, do you have any closing thoughts or anything you want to share with us about yourself or your role at Camp Outlook?
Camp Outlook's a great program, and it's been a privilege to be part of their community over the number of years. And in some respects, being a bit of a knowledge keeper and passing information on to staff over time. So it's a great opportunity for people to be helping out. And and they have got a solid program. All the training that one needs, if anybody's nervous about being involved with Outlook, they've got them covered. You know, the staff directors, they've been there before, they know what's going on, and everybody's set up for success.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you for coming in today and for talking with us. It's been really great, and I think a lot of future volunteers, people who are thinking about volunteering but are kind of on the fence right now, I feel like this conversation will really reassure them in the fact that all the training they need, they'll receive.
That is correct.
And especially from past interviews, they know that the training, while it is a serious topic and you learn a lot, you also make it kind of fun.
Oh, absolutely. If you're not having fun, there's no point in doing it.
Thank you, Steve, for coming in.
No problem. My pleasure.
We had a great time chatting with Steve today and learning more about his work as a wilderness first aid instructor and the amazing training that he provides for Camp Outlook volunteers year after year. It's definitely reassuring to hear that it's people like Steve who provide you with all the training necessary to facilitate these kind of wilderness trips.
Thanks for joining us today and happy paddling. As always, for more information on Camp Outlook and how you can apply to be a camper or to become a canoe trip leader, visit our website at campoutlook.ca.